Welcome to our program. I'm John Ankenberg, and my guest, as you've heard, is Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And we have a tremendous program for you today. You all know that Jesus died on the cross. Do you know the words that he said while he was dying? Have you even thought that it was important? We have a tremendous author who has written Cries from the Cross, A Journey into the Heart of Jesus. I recommend this highly. And we're going to talk about the key moment when Jesus actually came to the end of it all on the cross and he died. But I want to draw it back to you for a moment. You know that we all have an expiration date on ourselves. I'm going to die. Erwin's going to die. You're going to die. The question is, what's going to happen then? That's the main thing we're talking about today, and how you can know that you'll spend eternity with God. Now, Erwin, I'd like you to open this up with the background of what you have said, and we're talking about Jesus' last statement.
Well, John, as you know, last words are very important. And here we have Jesus, the first 3 hours on the cross, suffering under the hands of men, the last 3 hours suffering under the hands of God because of our sin, which was laid on him. And we're getting now to the end of those last 3 hours, and Jesus cries with a loud voice. It's as if he wants the whole world to hear. He says, but one word, tetelestai. Now, there are various ways we can pronounce that word, but everyone agrees it means paid in full. It is finished. And what we're going to be doing is discussing what was finished and how it applies to us today.
Yeah, give me some illustrations of how the common people even use this word.
Yeah, the common people used it if a servant was given a task. He would go do it. He'd come back when he was finished, and he'd say, tetelestai, I finished the task. Or maybe someone who had a debt and then paid the debt, across the bill would be written tetelestai, paid in full. And so what Jesus is saying is, his task on earth was basically finished. He had finished the work which the Father gave him to do. And that work, of course, was on our behalf, as we're going to be explaining today.
Yeah, and I think we need to tell the people what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had decided in eternity that was for all of us that would live on earth. He came up with a plan. God came up with a plan. The Father was part of the plan. The Son was part of the plan. The Holy Spirit, the triune God. Jesus came and was born the God-man. He was both man and God in one person. And he had a very important part, and it's shown right now at this time, when he's dying on the cross, and explain what the plan was, what he was talking about when he says, I have a cup that I must drink. Explain why at this hour, the 3 hours when God, the Father, was dealing with him, was he mad at the Son? Was there something that split the Trinity at that point? What was going on, and what did Jesus mean when he talked about tetelestai in regards to our sin?
First of all, John, I want to point out that when you think of that word, tetelestai, it really is the fulfillment of all of Scripture. Everything comes together there on the cross. All the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices which are now going to come to an end, the plan of God from eternity past, as you mentioned, God instituting redemption for fallen, sinful people like you and I are. And so when it says it is finished, isn't it interesting that the word it is not defined? But it doesn't have to be, because the rest of Scripture fills in what that it is. First of all, the suffering of Jesus was fulfilled and finished. And you talked about the fact that Jesus bore our sin. You have the Father, you have the Son. They are together in instituting redemption. Now, it is true that Jesus Christ paid a debt to the Father, but as we emphasized in a previous program, this does not mean that they were in any way divided. The intention of God from the beginning is that God would be the Redeemer. And what Jesus was saying now is, it is finished. And that means that his suffering was finished. All of the people who had been against him, the unfair charges against him, the physical suffering was about to end, because just a few moments later, he commits himself to the Father, which we're going to talk about next time. So imagine this. Everything that had been predicted was fulfilled now, because Jesus Christ died for sinners. So his physical suffering was over. The spiritual suffering that he experienced when he and his Father broke fellowship, as we noticed last time, all that is finished. And then there is another victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross that I want to highlight. And for that, I'm going to take my Bible and turn to the second chapter of the book of Colossians, where it says this, and then I'm going to be explaining what the text means. It says that God made us alive. We were dead, but God made us alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Now, what it's saying is that Satan was defeated, but let's back up and ask ourselves, what's the imagery here? When somebody died on the cross and was crucified for a crime, the crime was written above them. We know that above Jesus was written the words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. His crime was, he said that he was the King of the Jews. Now, actually, he was. But the crime was that he had said this and the people wanted him dead. Now, I want us to visualize that on that cosmic bulletin board, Paul is saying that all of our sins were listed. I want the people who are listening right now to think to themselves, can they remember all of their sins? Certainly not, but there are many that they can remember. Imagine all of those sins, and the Bible says that you are guilty, but Jesus is the one who is dying for you. I hope I'm making myself very clear here that Jesus took our sin, so the Apostle Paul says our sins were listed and Jesus died in our place. Now, it says that he disarmed principalities and powers. Let us visualize a court scene. Let us visualize that God wants to receive those who have received Christ as Savior into heaven, which we know is going to happen, and Satan is accusing them. And he is telling God, if these sinners were to go into heaven, they would defile the courts of heaven. But then Jesus steps forward and says, I paid their debt. Tetelestai. I paid what they should have paid, but because I paid it, they have been declared as perfect as God himself is, so there is no condemnation against them, because I bore what they deserved. So I want people to recognize here that there is forgiveness of sin, And there is reconciliation with God. And Satan's accusations may be right in the sense that we committed the sins that he accuses us of. But what does Paul say? Christ canceled that debt. You know, while I'm talking to you, I want to use an illustration that's coming to mind. I know that I've used it before, but it has to do with a person who was speeding, and there are various variations of this story. But standing before the judge, he wasn't able to pay. He had no money. The judge had compassion on him. Let's suppose that the fine was $100. The judge left the bench, took off his robe, stood with the defendant. The judge took out $100 from his own pocket and laid it on the desk. Then he went back, put on his robe, came and sat down and said to the defendant, "You owe $100, but I notice that somebody paid it." And so the judge takes the $100, which he himself had put down, and the defendant goes free. God is the one who demands a payment, and God supplies what he demands. And when Jesus says, "It is finished," that work was done. The payment that Jesus made to God the Father was accepted, and we know that this was the case because of the resurrection of Jesus and later on his ascension. And so Jesus says to those who are listening today who are burdened down with every kind of guilt and debt, he's saying to them, "You are forgiven. It is finished." That is to say, if they receive what he has done.
And that's very important. The fact is, this is a tremendous illustration of the love of God for human beings that have sinned, maybe cursed God, maybe have done dreadful things in their life, and they think God would never have anything to do with us. And you're making it sound like, hey, God paid for all of those sins and it's automatic. No, he's holding out a gift of the salvation that Christ provided on the cross that is available to everybody, but how do they receive it? This is one of the biggest questions that people ask me, that ask you, how do I receive Christ?
I want to make two clarifications and then I'll get to your question. First of all, it's very important to recognize the point that you are making, that just because Jesus died for the sins of the world, that by no means indicates that everybody is going to receive that forgiveness. It is reserved for those who turn from their sin to Christ. The other clarification is this: we may be speaking to people who are in prison today because of various crimes. And they may think to themselves, well, if God is willing to forgive me, and if God forgives me, I should be able to walk free. No, that's not the conclusion that you should draw, because you must recognize that we're talking about a relationship with God, and the relationship with other human beings and the law and so forth is another matter. So it's very important that people understand that just because Jesus died for the ungodly and the worst of sinners, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to take advantage of it. As a matter of fact, Jesus even talked about the fact that the way to heaven is narrow and the way to destruction is very broad. So I want to urge all those who are listening right now, don't take for granted somehow that your sin is automatically forgiven. What you must do is to humble yourself to receive the gift of eternal life.
People say sometimes, you know what, it sounds too good. I've gone to church all my life, but you know, Jesus paid for my sins, but I've got to be good. I've got to do some things. I've got to maybe be baptized. I've got to take communion. I've got to say my prayers. I've got to do this and do that. And unless I do that, I'm not going to really be accepted. What do you say to those people?
I'm so glad that they are wrong, because it's so important for us to understand that grace means we do not deserve this free gift. We do not have to make ourselves worthy to receive grace. We receive grace exactly where we are at, but it is also important to recognize that though God receives us as we are, He doesn't leave us the way He finds us. You begin the Christian life and God begins to deal with other issues in your life. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can stand against sin. But you begin a whole brand new way of living when you receive Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So I say to everyone who is listening, do not take for granted whether or not you have received that gift. Make sure that you have. And John, I have to add this. All over the country, you find people, if you ask them, will you go to heaven when you die? Their response is this, well, I hope so, but they have no assurance. And of course they don't. Because as long as salvation is dependent on what we do, we never know whether we have done enough. Have we gone to church often enough? Have we taken Mass? Have we been baptized? Have we burned candles? What does God require? And the good news of the gospel is this, that Jesus met all of those requirements on our behalf. And if we grasp that and receive it, then we receive forgiveness. And we recognize that He died for our sin on our behalf, and He brings us to the Father and declares us to be as perfect as God. Now, there's no news in all the world that people will ever hear that is as important and as hopeful and as delightful as that good news.
Yeah. There's some people that still think they've got to do something, and I'd like to talk about the fact to you folks, when you come before God, and you've tried to do some things to add to what Jesus did, and you come and stand before God, what if He asks you the question, all of these things that you've done that you expect me to give you heaven for, do you think that they are more valuable than the blood of my own Son? He's the one that died for your sins. All of this stuff is not what gets you to heaven. It's that Jesus died for your sins. That's what God says throughout Scripture, that He accepts. That's the plan that God had so that you could know Him personally and you could have your sins forgiven. And because Jesus said, it is finished, He paid for all of your sins. You just need to receive it as a gift. Or when you've got a great story of a man that was trying to figure out how he's going to please God, and he had a room, a secret room, where all the sins of his life were stored in cabinets. It's an illustration. And the cabinets were just full of papers that were all of his sins. And finish the story.
Well, thank you, John. I do want to finish that story. As I recall, the man had a dream, and he went into this room, and as you described, all of the cabinets, the file cabinets, and all of them had his sins. In other words, there were many cabinets and hundreds of files.
That's right.
The question is how to deal with them. And then suddenly, he discovered that there was no way that he could take the ink off or the record. It could not be changed. And in his dream, Jesus appears in the room. And he thinks, anybody but Jesus. And he feels so ashamed. But Jesus goes through all the files, one after another, and cancels each one of them. And he goes through the whole room, and then he says to the man, "It is finished." Imagine those words coming from the Son of God. And there are people listening today who can take those words and make them their own. It is finished.
Yeah.
I want to say a few personal words to you. In the movie, The Last Emperor, the emperor is asked the question, what happens when you make a mistake? He said, when I make a mistake, other people get blamed. In order to prove that, he took a vase off the shelf, threw it on the floor, and it broke into 100 pieces. And after he did that, a servant on the other side of the room was beaten. Now, my friend, today, Christianity is the opposite. You and I are the servants who take the vases off the mantel place and we throw it on the floor and the vases break and we mess up our lives. And today I'm speaking to some of you who have messed up your life. Jesus comes along and he's the one now who gets blamed. He's the one who bore your sin if you believe on him. And he takes the penalty that you and I should rightly deserve. There are many people who sing the song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But they don't understand that grace is totally, completely undeserved. If you think today that what we shared with you is too good to be true, well, I rejoice because I think you understood what the Bible actually is saying when it talks about the completeness of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. I would like you today to never lose sight of the words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Take those words, write them down, remember them, and above all, remember what was finished. Because Jesus had you in mind, and your sin, your transgression, and your mess. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant that the payment for sin had been made to all who believe. But as we've emphasized, it's not an experience that everyone has because you must receive it by faith. Turn from your sin. Turn from that mess. And turn to the one who died for sinners just like us. Because maybe you've heard me say it before. We have a great Savior for great sinners. Would you receive Jesus Christ right now, no matter where you are finding yourself? Would you bow your head? Perhaps you even want to get on your knees. Acknowledge your sin, but also receive the gift that Jesus has waiting for you, the gift of eternal life. I'm going to pray for you right now. And while I pray, I want you to pray and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we want to thank you so much that Jesus Christ completed the task that had been laid out for him. We want to thank you today that when he died on that cross, he paid our debt in full. We ask that many who are listening right now would receive that gift through repentance and faith, giving up all hope as to what they can do, but turning to the one who remembered us on the cross. We ask that you'll birth that faith in their hearts, and we thank you once again that it is finished. We pray in your blessed name. Amen.
And folks, God gives us a promise in Romans 10:13, if you prayed that prayer, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He heard you. He saved you. Now, thanks for joining us today. And please stay with me for just a moment, because I have a personal word for you that I'd like you to hear.
For additional resources or to view our TV program, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.